Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Your Body is a Revolution, Healing Our Relationships with Our Bodies, Each Other, and the Earth, by Tara Tang. Narrated by Tara Tang. To those who long to feel liberation in their bodies, may we find our way back home to ourselves and heal our relationships with each other. Introduction. On a warm summer evening in late August, I was wandering the concrete streets of downtown Vancouver, Canada, alongside someone I had just met. The cool air rustled through the trees in one of the world's greenest cities as we passed by the structures of street art and listened to the sound of cars, distant chatter, street performers, and crosswalk countdowns. As we turned a corner from the financial district to the entertainment neighborhood, we encountered a male-presenting young person walking down the street wearing a beautiful, long sequin skirt. His style was captivating, and our eyes could not help but lock on him as he walked down Granville Street with such confidence, laughing with his friends flanking him on either side. A hype woman through and through, I cheered him on and called out how amazing his style was. His face lit up with a smile. He tipped his flat-brim hat to me and gave his long skirt a swish and a twirl, sending the reflection of 1,000 mini disco lights across the concrete pavement. In this moment, I was watching someone truly living in their own terms and in alignment with their authenticity. This human was another walking embodiment of liberation. I had connected with a kindred spirit who found themselves in a world searching for truth, and I was energized at the sight of him. But the person I was with went rigid in their body, raised an eyebrow, and commented on how the style choice of this male-presenting human was interesting. I could hear in their voice the disapproval and disdain. In a previous life, I would have been too shy and afraid of rejection to challenge their reaction. But to protect the radical act of authenticity I had just witnessed, I summoned my inner mama bear and responded back that I am always going to cheer for someone who shows up authentically in their full self, reminding the person who I was with of how much courage it takes to do that. I remember the first time I met Tara in all her authenticity, but it was a long journey back to her. I'm sure I knew her in my earliest years, but somewhere along the way she became lost to me as I absorbed messages from my surroundings that told me I had to behave a certain way, look a certain way, and speak a certain way in order to be accepted, seen, and loved. This indoctrination process began when I was around 6 years old as a shy, homeschooled, half-Asian girl taking cues from my peers in ballet class about how I ought to behave socially. Under the backdrop of floor-to-ceiling studio mirrors, I took notice of which girls were considered the beautiful ones, and who was popular and who was not. No one told us about the hierarchical structure that we were about to insert ourselves into, but we filtered ourselves into categories based on what we saw represented in the media and in the world around us, and we learned to behave accordingly. This changed the relationships I had with the other girls in my class. But it also changed my relationship with my body as well. With large, unforgiving mirrors reflecting every angle, we learned how to criticize our perceived flaws. Our innocent, developing bodies didn't know any better, and were simply growing to nourish us and prepare us for the days that lay ahead. But instead of receiving loving words of adoration, our bodies heard verbal abuse, and some may have even experienced self-harm behind the closed doors of our homes. This self-conscious scrutiny of who I was and where I belonged only deepened in my teenage years as I learned alongside my peers how to flirt with those who I was attracted to and absorb the message about what the world defines as popular and desirable. I spent these tender years entrenched in evangelical youth group culture, listening to Reliant K, playing Capture the Flag in overgrown forests after the sun had set, and wearing shirts that always covered my shoulders so that I wouldn't be pulled aside to receive a lecture from my youth leader about not causing the boys to stumble. At youth group, at summer camp, and in the hallways at school, our female bodies were constantly measured for modesty and holiness. As a young adult, I was thrust into the spotlight wearing a jeweled crown on my head and a sash that bore the name of my country. With all eyes on me, I carried the responsibility to represent not only myself, but also my pageant organization and my entire country on the world stage. With this sash came an expectation of who Miss Canada is. And any time I stepped outside that expectation, the world had something to say about it. There were entire internet forums dedicated to discussing the outfit I had worn each day and whether I lived up to people's expectations. The stress caused me to skip meals. Only one country's representative would come out on top for her ability to embody the ideals of womanhood as objectively defined by our collective societies and ideologies. All of us were trying to obtain an untenable and constantly moving goalpost. 2 days after I crowned my Miss Canada successor, I took on a new title and became a wife, once again stepping into an expectation that had been laid out before me. 25 years of living in the evangelical church, a cultural identity that prides itself on traditional family values, told me what their expectations were of wives for their husbands. I learned to cook for the first time in my life, and I did my best to be a good wife that I had seen exalted as the standard for a good marriage. But 5 years and 2 beautiful children later, our marriage came to its end, and this ending was pivotal for me. The dominant narrative about divorce suggested that this is where my life ended, and in many ways it was. The woman I had been told to be died the day I left my marriage, but the woman I was born to be had been slowly dying inside each day to make room for the fabricated me to live. Eventually, I couldn't do it anymore. I could no longer sacrifice everything I was born to be for everything I was told to be. Over time, my marriage had become an unsafe situation that wasn't healthy, and no one in our family was happy. I had to let the fabricated versions of us go and grieve their passing. And so my marriage came to an end, and the world as I knew it crumbled. It was devastating. Almost daily, I found myself in the fetal position on my shower floor, weeping every last tear from my body. I sobbed on my therapist's couch and sat on the edge of the ocean's shoreline reading poetry, as if each word could tether me to something concrete that would help me find my way back home. For 18 months after the divorce, I walked through the world trying to keep my head above water. I was in survival mode, trying to keep myself together and my children whole as our world shifted into something new. It was the hardest year and a half of my life. Then slowly, as the earth's seasons transformed around me, I began to set my feet on steady ground again. And I started an honest conversation with my body about our life, perhaps for the first time ever. Rather than boxing up my emotions and shoving them deep into the back corner of my life's closet, I chose to unpack it all, examining every single piece of baggage that I was hauling around with me through life. I looked at the messages I had absorbed in my childhood about what I needed to do to be loved, and I became critical of the pledges I took in my youth that assigned virtue to purity and taught me to appease the powers that be to sustain the hierarchies of tradition. I dismantled the ideas I had been indoctrinated into that dictated what a family looked like and how I ought to relate to those that I loved. And at the center of it all, I deconstructed the fraying tapestry of faith as I knew it, pulling on each string as I followed my hunger for truth and a longing in my heart for something more. Through it all, my body was with me. Returning home to the relationship with my body that I had once known as a child, I slowly began to build back trust within myself. My closest friend and greatest ally, my body, came back and took her rightful place beside me. The numbness I had been feeling after years of systemic silencing began to dissipate, and every fiber of my being began to wake up again. I learned to cultivate the art of listening to my body, to the still small voice within, and trusting in the goodness within me to lead me back home to where I was meant to be. Eventually, I found embodiment as a spiritual practice. Where fundamentalism taught me to distrust my body, embodiment taught me to find goodness within. No longer did I have to go searching in the halls of academia, retreat centers, or cathedrals to find wisdom and goodness. No longer did I have to cling to what others taught me about spirituality. I could discover it for myself. Through reclaiming embodiment, I began to know deep in my bones that my body is not inherently evil. Rather, my body can speak to me the mysteries of what it means to be fully human and how I can experience heaven on earth in the here and now. Where I once believed that my body would lead me away from God, I have instead found the truth that my body is the place where I meet God. And that truth has brought me back to life. Who this book is for? This book is for you if you have a body. As we will explore in this book, bodies matter deeply, and historically we have not given bodies the reverence and understanding they deserve. This book is also for you if you have grown up in the church or lived in a country or culture that has been heavily influenced by the church. At times in this book, I will dissect ideas from theology, not in an effort to convince you of anything, but for us to better understand where our cultural ideas come from and how they impact our relationships with our bodies and each other. The church has given many of us generations of trauma stemming from a shame-filled ideology of the body. This can be true even if we've never set foot in a church ourselves. Maybe you know firsthand what it feels like to be wounded by the church or to have theology weaponized against you. I certainly do. While I no longer identify as a Christian, I found Jesus in a new, fresh way, apart from capitalism, patriarchy, colonization, and white supremacy. Many of the clients I work with are survivors of religious trauma, and if this is your story, I want to gently share a trigger warning with you. Parts of this book speak to all of the ways that theology and the institution of the church has perpetuated body-based oppression, injustice, and disembodiment. I do not expose this harm in an effort to further villainize or attack religion, but rather to explore together the ways we can break cycles of harm and come back into relationships of ethical balance and reciprocity with one another. Finally, if you have felt disconnected, lost, unsure, unsafe, overwhelmed, or like an imposter in your body, then this book is for you. You no longer need to fit in to be safe, find belonging, or feel loved. Together, we will unwind the lies your body has absorbed from patriarchy, colonization, and white supremacy so that you can reclaim your true self in all its powerful authenticity. Maybe you want to meet yourself with full authenticity, but you don't know because the only narrative you've ever heard is that your body is something that you must sacrifice on the altar in order to prove to God that you are good, holy, and pure. Maybe you were taught that your body is inherently sinful and that listening to your body will lead you down the slippery slope towards an eternity in hell. I want to cordially invite you to leave all that behind. How to listen to this book. So much awaits you on the other side of toxic, body-shaming narratives. I know because I've been there. I was raised in the same patriarchal, colonized, capitalist society that you were, and I want you to know that it is possible to reclaim your body in an expansive way that holds space for all of you. You can leave behind all the lies, all the inner tension and turmoil, all the disconnection that you feel from your own body. Through my work as a somatic practitioner, I see the world through the lens of the body. Somatics is a field of bodywork that studies and embraces a holistic way of being human, with mind, body, and soul intertwined. With this foundation, I do the gentle work of coming home to the body on a daily basis. If this feels foreign to you, or if you think that you are the only one who feels disconnected from your body, I promise you are not. I have worked with hundreds of people who are doing the courageous work of unlearning all the harmful beliefs they have about their bodies and learning how to be more authentically themselves. This is a powerful act of reclamation and revolution. The systemic structure of the world we live in is optimized for disembodiment, but this is not how it is meant to be. My clients and I get curious of all the ways our bodies speak to us and how we can unravel the many layers of trauma that our bodies are holding. By speaking truth to limiting beliefs, we can release the grasp that shame has on us and end all the ways we are at war with our bodies. Sometimes this looks like talking things out so that we can see them from a new perspective. Sometimes this looks like moving big emotions through our body with the tools of dance or breathwork. Other times, this looks like an inward self-reflection and embodied conversation with our full selves. All the time, this looks like a brave person doing the tender work of coming home. But the journey ahead will be difficult. It will force you to examine every belief you hold and get to the source of those beliefs. There may be a grieving process as you let go of what can no longer serve you. There may be moments when you feel alone in the process, or you have to confront traumatic memories that you would rather not acknowledge. You'll likely feel many different emotions and physical sensations while listening. If you can, and if it feels safe enough for you, try to notice what emotions arise and how your body is feeling as you listen. There may be moments when you feel inspired, excited, light, powerful, elated, hopeful, even ecstatic in your body. There may be words that resonate so deeply within you that you feel your very soul is reflected back to you as you listen, and the secret longings of your heart whispering to you from within. You don't need to listen to the chapters of this book in the order that they are presented. Some chapters may be deeply triggering to you, and if that happens, I invite you to pause or skip over to the next chapter. But when you feel ready, please come back. Our triggers are not places we need to avoid forever. Learning to lean into the feelings that arise when we have support can be deeply healing and give us the opportunity to rewrite a new story into our nervous system. But if it feels safe enough, I invite you to sit with the discomfort. In my coaching practice and somatic therapy sessions, I sit with my clients when this happens. It is through holding space for the uncomfortable or hard emotions that we learn from them and grow our resilience for the hard things that elicit a trigger response in our bodies. I highly recommend seeking out a somatic practitioner or therapist who has an anti-oppressive and trauma-integrative approach. I am a bisexual, biracial, Asian American, cisgender woman, and my perspective has been shaped by these pieces of who I am. Because I have grown up in a country that is now part of modern-day colonial North America, I will refer to many of my lived experiences within this cultural context. However, because the human experience is so vast and diverse, I have invited others to join me on this journey, and I will share their voices alongside mine in various parts of this book. As I share stories in this book, I am recalling moments as I know them to be. My retelling of a memory might be different from someone else who was also there. This is because our perspectives, our lived experiences, our trauma, and our biases are all different, so we experience and recall things differently. This context is so incredibly important to the embodied stories and beliefs we hold. In The Politics of Trauma, somatic practitioner and trauma researcher Stacey Haynes states, we are shaped by and embody the social condition in which we live. This is incredibly important when we want to heal our broken relationships with our bodies, each other, the earth, and spirituality. I promise you, the journey is worth it. You are worth it. Where patriarchy, colonization, and white supremacy push for the ideal body with dominance over others, embodiment is the radical act of resistance in the face of this oppression. We all face significant barriers to achieving such liberation. This begs the question, what would we do today if we weren't so afraid of the confines and backlash created by the status quo? This is why it is entirely captivating to witness humans who live their fullest selves, the ones who are honest about their journey, who do not hide themselves from the world or seek to occupy places that no longer serve them. Throughout this process, I hope you will come to find that your body is a revolution and that showing up as your truest self is a powerful act of resistance to the system that tries to shame us into feeling bad about our bodies. After you have stripped away everyone else's agendas, you'll be left with only your authentic self, and you'll be ready to start rebuilding a worldview in alignment with your values and a relationship with your body that you once knew intimately as a child, before everyone else's ideas about bodies overshadowed your own. That's what I witnessed on the streets of Vancouver as I watched this person twirl with the sparkle of his skirt. And that's what you can witness within yourself when you choose to do the work. Here, I hope you will find answers from deep within, from an embodied place. My job is to help facilitate the relationship between you and your body, first and foremost. But while I may be your embodiment coach, doula, and guide along the way, I want to make it clear, I am not your teacher. Your body is your teacher. I am simply the facilitator, assisting you as you learn to listen to her, him, or them. Your body is the answer, and you already have everything within you that you need. It is my prayer that this book will be the roadmap that whispers hope into the longings of your soul and sets you on a path to freedom and healing. Finally, if you have someone you can listen to this book alongside, I encourage you to do so. Transformation comes most powerfully through relationships. Our lives are not meant to be lived alone, and returning to right relationship with our bodies must also include returning to right relationship with one another. So if you can, please listen to this book alongside a trusted friend who makes you feel safe enough to explore the fullest expression of yourself. Book clubs are an especially sacred place for journeys like the one on which you are about to embark. And if you can't find a friend close to you, I invite you to join the pockets of digital community that exist in online spaces that allow you to be fully seen, fully held, and fully embraced. This is what we need to thrive. This is your invitation to fully inhabit your life, to reclaim what has been stolen from you, to remember the parts of yourself that you have distanced yourself from, to take back what they said was too much, too loud, too feminine, too masculine, too gay, too worldly, too unique to fit into the mold of what patriarchy, colonization, and white supremacy decided was acceptable. This is your invitation to come back home to the place you were always searching for. Here, your whole self is welcome. You no longer have to cut off, censor, diminish, or abandon parts of yourself to gain acceptance. Here we embrace wholehearted living. Here we live in alignment with our values and beliefs, not fear-based behavior established by institutionalized control. Here we speak truth to power and dismantle all forms of body shame, oppression, and control. Here, your body is good and holy, something that brings you closer to goodness, something that invites you into a deeper understanding of what it means to be fully human. Here, we call one another into greater life, putting aside what holds us back and knowing that more is always possible. So welcome home, beloved. We have been waiting for you. The fire is warm, the candles are lit, and the table is set. Let's find our way back together. You're not alone on the journey any longer. You have found your people, the misfits and wanderers, the ones searching for wholeness and truth. We will fill our bellies with good food, our minds with conversation, and our hearts with all the promises of a world longed for, built on justice, liberation, and love for all. You're home, in exactly the skin you're in. Thank you for trusting me on this journey, dear one. In every word I speak, your freedom is on my mind. With conviction, Tara. Chapter 1, Reclamation. Your whole self is welcome here. Truth feels like something in the body. I heard my friend Coach Yema, the founder of Confidently Queer, say directly to my soul. I let her words echo for a moment as every cell in my body vibrated with deep resonance to the truth they had just heard. Yes, my body whispered, as it clung onto each word like a life raft in the midst of a turning ocean. This is exactly the truth that I lead my clients to in every session. Truth feels like something in my body. It's that jolt of energy that runs through you when someone gives language to something that you've experienced and know to be true. It's a deep sense within you that brings you back into remembering, waking you up again and calling you back. For a long time, I had been numb to the experience of living in my body. I silenced my body's voice, learning to distrust what she was speaking to me. My relationship with my own body had become clouded by patriarchal forces that infiltrated theology, mass media, culture, my relationships, and my own internalized gaze. Instead of listening to the wisdom from within, I listened to the authoritarian voices over me that said my body would lead me astray, that my body could make another person stumble, that my body's natural desires were something to shut down and be ashamed of. And so I began to view my body as a stranger rather than an ally, beginning a complicated relationship fraught with internalized misogyny, white supremacy, and the male gaze. I saw my body as something to overcome, rather than a relationship to be embraced. Through my work as an embodiment coach, I've learned that my experience is not uncommon. Every single person I have met so far has a complex relationship with their body. When we seek to heal those relationships, we often end up unraveling all the reasons we are distanced from our bodies in the first place. All day, every day, we exist in our bodies. This is an undeniable fact that we can all agree on and a universal experience we all share. We wake, we eat, we breathe, we feel, and we move. Some of our bodies, like those of professional athletes, deny all logical laws of gravity, flexibility, and strength. Some of us use our bodies to shield the vulnerable by putting ourselves in harm's way to protect them. But even if all we do is deeply breathe the air around us into our lungs, it is our magnificent bodies that allows us to do so. But what is the body? Is it a conglomerate of matter, mass, blood, and bones? Is the body us, the very essence of who we are? And how does the very experience of living in our bodies impact the people we become? These are the questions we will explore together in this book. This is the journey we are on, the journey of being human. My inner child was embodied.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?